Welcome to the Utica Phoenix Deep Dive. Today we're going to be taking a deep dive into some recent upheaval surrounding Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency.
D-O-G-E.
D-O-G-E. Yeah, exactly.
As many people know it.
D-O-G-E. Specifically, we're going to be looking into the mass resignation of 21 civil servants from D-O-G-E's United States D-O-G-E service, formerly the United States Digital Service.
Yeah, this is a really fascinating situation, I think, because it exposes this clash of ideologies that we're seeing right now, where on the one hand, you have Musk's vision, which seems to prioritize rapid and sweeping change, and this kind of private sector approach to efficiency.
Right. And then on the other, you have these civil servants, many with backgrounds in these tech giants, who are really concerned about the consequences of such a drastic overhaul, especially when we're talking about data security and the continuity of essential services.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they're arguing that dismantling these existing structures without really understanding the complexities of these systems could lead to some unintended and potentially disastrous consequences.
And these 21 individuals, they didn't just quietly slip out the back door. They issued a really scathing resignation letter, essentially accusing DOGE's leadership of prioritizing ideology over technical expertise and expressing some serious concerns about the security of sensitive data and the erosion of vital services that millions of Americans depend on.
And it's not just about data security in this abstract sense. We're talking about the digital infrastructure underpinning things like Social Security veteran services, healthcare, all of which rely on these complex systems that require a lot of technical knowledge to maintain and modernize effectively.
It almost sounds like a tug of war between two very different philosophies of governance.
It does.
So to understand this clash, I think we need to go back to the origins of DOGE and how it evolved.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a great place to start. So initially during Trump's 2024 campaign, DOGE was presented as this external blue ribbon commission, kind of like a think tank, to offer recommendations on government efficiency. But then after the election, it really morphed into something much more powerful, a force within the government itself, with Musk at the helm wielding a significant amount of influence.
And that's where things get really interesting, right? Mm-hmm. Because this shift in DOGE's role seems to have caught a lot of people off guard, including people within the government. And this aggressive approach, which includes things like layoffs and terminated contracts, even attempts to shut down entire agencies, it's been met with a lot of pushback.
Yeah, a lot of pushback. And from both sides of the aisle, too. We're seeing Democrats and Republicans alike voicing concerns about the potential illegality and even cruelty of some of these changes. Some lawmakers are even calling for a complete halt to DOGE's activities altogether.
And then there's that almost theatrical moment at CPAC, where Musk received a chainsaw as a gift from Argentinian President Javier Milei, symbolizing his commitment to cutting bureaucracy.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely captured people's attention.
Oh, it did. But the real story, I think, lies beneath the surface. This isn't just about theatrics or symbolism. The resigning employees are painting a very different picture, one of chaos and confusion within the department.
They allege that unqualified individuals are making crucial decisions, potentially jeopardizing critical government systems. And perhaps most importantly, they're really worried about the security risks involved.
Yeah, and remember, these individuals come from backgrounds where data security is paramount. I mean, they've worked at companies like Google and Amazon, so they understand the intricacies of handling sensitive data. So their claims that DOGE's actions are actually making things less secure, not more, are deeply concerning.
Yeah, it's a stark contrast, right? DOGE, ostensibly created to modernize and improve government efficiency, now stands accused of jeopardizing the very systems it was meant to enhance. And this brings us to the legacy of the United States Digital Service, or USDS, the agency these employees originally belonged to.
Right. So the USDS was established under Obama and played a really pivotal role in modernizing government technology. I mean, their work touched everything from healthcare.gov to veteran services, to tax filing portals. They were really instrumental in making government services more accessible and user-friendly.
And that's the contrast that I think we need to keep in mind. A department dedicated to improving services versus one that seemingly seeks to dismantle them.
Yeah.
It sets the stage for a really interesting and potentially volatile situation.
Precisely. And you know what makes these resignations so significant is that these aren't just disgruntled employees venting their frustrations. These are experts sounding the alarm about the potential long-term damage being inflicted on crucial government functions.
And this is where things take a turn, because according to this resignation letter, when DOGE came in, it felt like a hostile takeover. These resigning employees were subjected to these really intense interviews where some interviewers even refused to identify themselves.
Wow, imagine that, being questioned about your political loyalties by anonymous individuals.
Wise.
They also claimed that these interviewers often lacked basic technical understanding, which further fueled their concerns about DOGE's competence.
So not only did they feel like their expertise was being dismissed, they also felt like they were being judged on their ideology, not their ability to do the job. And this sense of being targeted wasn't an isolated incident. They alleged that earlier layoffs were specifically directed at those working to modernize critical services like Social Security and veterans benefits.
And this points to a chilling possibility that the goal isn't to reform, but to dismantle, to replace these complex systems with something entirely different without considering the consequences. It certainly raises questions about the true motivations behind DOGE's actions.
It's almost as if we're witnessing a battle for the soul of the federal government, a clash between two very different visions of what it should be and how it should operate. And speaking of departures, we can't forget the recent resignation of Ann Marshall, the director of the Digital Service.
Yeah, her departure just last week was significant. She publicly stated that she could no longer support the direction DOGE was taking, and I think that speaks volumes about the internal resistance to Musk's vision.
Right, and when you combine her resignation with this mass resignation of 21 employees, it paints a pretty clear picture.
Yeah.
There's a significant and growing level of pushback against what DOGE is doing. And this internal resistance is spilling out into the public sphere with lawsuits being filed, protests erupting, and even attempts to expose the identities of DOGE staff members.
It's far from a smooth transition. This is a full-blown power struggle playing out in real time, and the stakes couldn't be higher. We're talking about the essential services that millions of Americans rely on every single day.
Right, and let's not forget about the security of their data and the effective functioning of our government as a whole. This DOGE situation is a powder keg. It feels like we're just witnessing the beginning of something much bigger.
Yeah, it does feel that way.
Well, we're going to delve deeper into all of this in part two of this deep dive.
Yeah, we'll get into some specific examples of how DOGE's cuts are impacting everyday Americans, and we'll examine the potential legal challenges that lie ahead.
We'll also consider the broader political implications of this power struggle and look at the role of technology and expertise in shaping the future of government. So stay tuned, because there's a lot more to uncover.
Absolutely. Welcome back to our deep dive into this whole DOGE situation.
So we've talked about the mass resignation and the broader concerns about DOGE's approach. But now I want to get specific. How are these cuts actually impacting everyday Americans?
That's a really crucial question. And, you know, the resigning employees in their letter highlighted some truly worrisome examples. They were directly involved in modernizing systems that are absolutely essential to how our government functions. So we're talking about Social Security, Veterans Services, tax filing, healthcare disaster relief, student aid. The list goes on and on.
And these are just abstract government programs. These are the lifelines that so many people depend on, often in moments of great need.
Exactly. And their concern is that with their departure and the broader exodus of talent from the USDS, these systems are becoming more vulnerable, less efficient, potentially less secure, and more prone to disruption.
It's almost like pulling a Jenga block out of a tower. Mm-hmm. You might not see the immediate impact, but the whole structure becomes that much more unstable.
That's a great analogy. And think about the human impact. If you're a veteran trying to access your benefits, or a senior citizen navigating the complexities of Social Security, or a family relying on student aid to afford college, any disruption or delay can have devastating consequences.
And it's not just hypothetical either. We're already seeing reports of delays in processing benefits, people having more difficulty accessing online portals, and a general sense of confusion and frustration among those who rely on these services.
Right, and I think this brings us back to that fundamental tension that we discussed earlier between this desire for rapid, sweeping change and the reality that these government systems are incredibly complex and interconnected.
Right, and it seems like the push for efficiency is coming at the cost of considering the intricate details and the potential downstream impacts of these changes.
Absolutely. And this brings us to another point of contention, which is that these cuts seem to be driven more by ideology than any kind of sound analysis of what actually makes government efficient and effective.
You're referring to that email Musk sent demanding weekly work reports from federal employees, the one where he threatened resignation if people didn't comply.
Yeah, that's a prime example. I mean, it created chaos and confusion within various agencies, with employees unsure whether to follow Musk's directives or those from their own departments. And what was the purpose? To prove that people were putting in hours? It's just a really bizarre metric for efficiency.
Yeah, it does seem more focused on control than genuine efficiency.
Yeah.
Almost like trying to impose a rigid private sector mindset onto a system that simply doesn't operate that way.
Precisely. It's a classic case of trying to fit a square peg into a round hole. And unfortunately, the consequences are being felt by the very people these services are designed to help.
And we can't ignore the potential legal challenges that DOJ is facing. We're seeing lawmakers from both sides of the aisle raising some serious concerns about the legality of some of DOJ's actions.
Yeah, the concerns are multifaceted. Some argue that Musk is overstepping his authority, acting as a de facto government official without proper oversight or accountability. And there are questions about whether DOJ is violating federal laws protecting civil service employees.
Especially considering those laid-off employees who alleged they were targeted because they were working on modernizing crucial services, that raises the specter of potential retaliation, which is illegal.
Absolutely. And then there's the whole issue of data security, which is a whole other layer of complexity.
Mm-hmm.
The resigning employees specifically called out their concerns about DOGE jeopardizing sensitive data.
And it's not just them. Cybersecurity experts have been sounding the alarm as well, pointing to the potential risks associated with DOGE's approach, particularly given the lack of demonstrable technical expertise within the department.
It's a truly worrying combination. A department tasked with overseeing highly sensitive government systems, yet led by individuals whose actions suggest they prioritize ideology over proven expertise in the field. I mean, that's just a recipe for disaster for anyone concerned about data breaches and cyber attacks.
Right. And the potential fallout from such breaches could be catastrophic. We're talking about everything from personal information to national security secrets being compromised.
Yeah.
This is why the political backlash against DOGE is so significant. It's not just partisan bickering. It reflects a genuine and widespread concern about the potential damage being inflicted on our government.
Exactly. And it's coming from a surprisingly broad coalition. We're seeing criticism from Democrats and Republicans, former government officials, tech industry leaders, all expressing alarm at what they perceive as a reckless and potentially dangerous experiment.
It's an experiment that's unfolding right before our eyes with real consequences for real people. The DOGE situation, in many ways, is a microcosm of the larger challenges facing our government in the 21st century.
I think that's right. It really highlights that tension between the need for efficiency and innovation and the absolute imperative to protect essential services and safeguard sensitive data. And it raises the question of how we can ensure that government remains accountable and responsive to the needs of the people it serves, while also adapting to this rapidly changing technological landscape.
So if you bring it back to our listeners, what are the key takeaways from what we've discussed so far?
Well, I think the core issue here is that delicate balance between progress and protection. Yes, there may be valid arguments for streamlining government and making it more efficient, but the methods being employed by DOGE seem to be causing more harm than good.
Right. And what's particularly concerning is the disregard for expertise and the potential long-term consequences for crucial services that millions of Americans rely on. We're seeing a clash of philosophies, a battle between two very different visions of what government should be.
And what's at stake is nothing less than the effective functioning of our government and the well-being of its citizens.
So where do we go from here? That's what we'll be exploring in part three. We'll shift our focus to the bigger picture, examining the broader political and societal implications of this whole DOGE experiment and explore potential paths forward.
Yeah, we'll also consider the role of technology and expertise in shaping the future of government and discuss how we can ensure that these powerful tools are used to serve the public good rather than undermine it.
Welcome back to the Deep Dive. We've been dissecting the DOGE situation, the mass resignation, the concerns about data security, the potential disruption of vital government services.
Yeah.
Now, I want to shift gears a bit and zoom out to look at the bigger picture.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. Because I think what the DOGE saga, while alarming in its own right, also reveals is a deeper tension that's been simmering for years.
Yeah.
This clash between traditional government structures and the breakneck speed of technological change.
It's like we're trying to merge two completely different worlds, right? On the one hand, you have these complex bureaucratic systems, slow moving, often resistant to change.
Exactly. And then on the other hand, you have these disruptive technologies emerging at an unprecedented rate, promising to revolutionize everything.
And it seems like DOGE, in its own chaotic way, is a prime example of what happens when you try to force fit these two worlds together without carefully considering the consequences.
It's almost like trying to upgrade a horse-drawn carriage with a jet engine.
Okay.
You might get some initial bursts of speed.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole thing is likely to fall apart sooner or later.
That's a vivid image. And it highlights another crucial point that's emerged throughout our discussion. It's not enough to simply throw technology at a problem. You need people who understand how to use it effectively and responsibly. Yeah. You need expertise.
Yes, you need the expertise. And that's why the loss of talent from the USDS is so concerning. These were individuals who dedicated their careers to using technology to improve government services. They understood the nuances, the challenges, the potential pitfalls.
And their departure leaves a void that will be very difficult to fill, especially given the current administration's apparent disregard for that deep level of expertise.
It's a stark reminder that technology, for all its potential, is ultimately a tool. And like any tool, it can be used for good or for ill.
It all depends on who's wielding it and what their intentions are. So where do we go from here? How do we ensure that technology is used to empower government, not dismantle it?
That is the million-dollar question. It seems like we need a more thoughtful, more nuanced approach than what we've seen with DOGE.
I think so, too. For starters, I think we need to recognize that government is not a business. It operates under different principles with different goals and constraints.
Right. Efficiency is important, but it can't be the sole metric for success. We also need to consider effectiveness, equity, accountability, and transparency.
Right. We can't lose sight of those core values. And we need to invest in the people who make government work. That means attracting and retaining top talent, not driving them away.
Absolutely. Provide those individuals with the resources and the support they need. Empower them to innovate and find solutions that actually work for the people they serve.
That brings up another good point. We need to foster a culture of collaboration, both within government and between government and the private sector.
Yeah, because these challenges facing government are complex and interconnected. No single agency, no single individual has all the answers. We need to work together, pool our knowledge and resources.
We also need to engage the public in this conversation. After all, it's their government, and they have a right to have a say in how it's run.
Absolutely. Transparency and open dialogue are central. Technology has the potential to transform government for the better, but only if we use it wisely and thoughtfully.
I think the DOGE saga, while unsettling, can also serve as a wake-up call.
A stark reminder of the potential consequences of unchecked power and the critical importance of expertise and thoughtful planning.
It's a call to action for all of us to engage in these important conversations and demand better from our government.
The future isn't predetermined. It's something we create together. And by staying informed, engaged, and active, we can help shape a future where technology empowers government to serve the people effectively, efficiently, and equitably.
Well said. And on that note, we come to the end of our deep dive into the DOGE saga. But as we've emphasized throughout this episode, the conversation doesn't end here.
We encourage you to continue exploring these issues, to engage in thoughtful debate, and to hold your elected officials accountable.
The future of government and its relationship with technology is something that affects all of us. So stay curious, stay engaged, and most importantly, stay informed. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Come back and listen to more deep dives on the website.